Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We confessed again today in the words of the Athanasian Creed, those striking words, "Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally." And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. To be ignorant of the true God, or to deny the true God, is to perish eternally. But to know Him is eternal life, as Jesus once prayed to His Father in heaven and said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." And as you heard last week on Pentecost Sunday, from Joel's prophecy, also cited by the Apostle Peter on that day, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." God's name is more than just what we call Him. His name is who He is, what He's revealed to us about Himself in the Holy Scriptures. The name of the Lord then includes His oneness, His unity. You know how many gods the ancient Greeks and Romans worshipped in their pantheon, a god for this and a god for that, a god for every need that a human being might have, and also a god to represent every desire and every evil of the human race. The gods of the nations are many, but God had Moses declare to the people of Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him, and shall take oaths in His name. You shall not go after other gods." One God. Unity. The one God made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. There are not three gods, nor are there two gods, nor are there many gods. There is one God. You have to know that God in unity in order to know Him. But there is also a unique threeness, a trinity to the one God, revealed obscurely in the Old Testament, revealed much more clearly in the New Testament, as clearly as we need it to be revealed. The one God who created all things, who revealed Himself to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, is three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have to know that too, His threeness, in order to know Him. The threeness of God is part of His saving name. We'll see how Jesus reveals God to us in His threeness in the gospel that you heard today from John chapter 3. Nicodemus, that Pharisee and ruler of the Jews, eventually became a believer in Jesus, but wasn't yet at this early point in Jesus' ministry. So he came to Jesus by cover of night and said to Him, "Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him." Nicodemus recognized that Jesus came from God. If only he knew just how right he was about that and just how deep it went. When he says, "No one can do these things unless God is with him," if only he had known that Jesus was the very Emmanuel who was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, which means God with us. Not only was God with Jesus, but in the person of Jesus, Jesus, who is God, was with us human beings. Now, Nicodemus didn't know that. Nicodemus didn't know what John told us at the beginning of his gospel, that Jesus was there in the beginning, the Word, who was with God and the Word who was God. Nicodemus didn't know that Jesus was indeed from the Father, begotten of Him from eternity. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, as we confessed in the Nicene Creed. Yes, God was with Jesus, but the Word was with God in eternity and was God. Now, Jesus could have explained all of that Trinitarian detailed explanation to Nicodemus, but that's not what He did. How did Jesus reply to Nicodemus? He put salvation itself right there on the line. Jesus answered him and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The first birth, the one from our parents, counts for nothing toward a person's salvation, toward entering the kingdom of God. The first birth from our mothers brings us into the world with the same sin and sinful corruption of our body and soul as our mothers and fathers were born with, and their mothers and fathers before them, back to our sin-corrupted father Adam and our sin-corrupted mother Eve. No one is born with true knowledge of God, either in His oneness or in His threeness. No one is born with true love for God, true trust in God, or true fear of God. Now it's true, everyone is born with a reflection of the knowledge of God. We call it the natural knowledge of God, or natural law. Human beings know by nature that God exists, that there is a God. For as much as our arrogant age of pseudoscience tries to deny it, we have a general knowledge of right and wrong. We know by nature and from nature also that God is just and good and wise and powerful. And we know that God punishes sinners even after this earthly life is done. But that natural knowledge doesn't make us love God or trust in God, nor does it reveal how we can enter the kingdom of God. On the contrary, we are born, all of us, wanting to earn our own way into this God's good graces, whoever He may be. Wanting to be God, to play God, to tell God what's right and wrong, or to look for a God who agrees with us about what is right and wrong. That must be the true God, the one who agrees with me. That sounds sacrilegious to us Christians, but that really is the mindset and the attitude of the non-Christian. The true God is the one who agrees with me. But no, the true God is the one who created all things and who insists that you're not good enough as you were born, because we're all born in sin. The true God insists that you start over from scratch, that you who are by nature sinful and corrupt must be completely put to death, and that a new man, a new person must arise from the ashes, being born again. But being born isn't something that you can strive for. Being born isn't something you do for yourself, either the first time or the second time. You can't remake yourself. You can't change who you are. Someone else has to do that to you. And Jesus explains how that happens and who it is who does it. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now the Father sent His Son into the world and pointed us to the Son. Here, look, this is who I am. Where does Jesus, the Son, point? Well, here He points to the Spirit. The Spirit, the same Holy Spirit referred to in the Old Testament, the same Holy Spirit whose coming we celebrated last Sunday, He is the only one who brings people into God's kingdom. And He does it through rebirth, or as we also call it, regeneration. Well, Jesus ties that rebirthing or regeneration to water. Not just plain water, but the water that is connected to God's command and included in God's word. The water of holy baptism that is applied at the command of Jesus in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit to those who have heard the word of God and wish to be buried with Christ through baptism into death. As Paul writes to Titus in chapter 3, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And there again, you see God in His threeness, His perfect threeness. God our Savior, that is God the Father, saved us through the washing of rebirth or regeneration of the Holy Spirit, whom He, the Father, poured out on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son. The threeness of God is part of His saving name. But aren't we saved by faith alone, not baptism? That's how some people think of it. Well, we are saved by faith alone, but where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing the message, as Paul writes to the Romans, the message that God, the Father, is willing to forgive sins for the sake of Christ, the Son, through the Spirit's work of baptism, which unites us to the death of God's Son who died for our sins. So faith clings to the promise which God Himself has attached to holy baptism. And there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit keep working together for our salvation. The Spirit gives new birth. The Spirit gives new life. But where does the Spirit point? He points to the Son. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Go back and read Numbers chapter 21 if you don't remember the account of the bronze serpent. Moses put a bronze serpent up on a pole so that the snake-bitten and dying Israelites could look up at it and be miraculously healed of the venom that was killing them. So God the Father sent His Son into human flesh so that He could be lifted up on the cross, so that all of us dying in our sins might look to Him in faith and be saved. The Holy Spirit is the one working in that message to actually turn our eyes to Christ so that we trust in Him and receive forgiveness and eternal life from Him. Again, the threeness of God is part of His saving name. How can God be one and three at the same time? How can each distinct person of the Godhead be God without there being three gods? Put such questions aside and focus on how the one God reveals His threeness to us in the Holy Scriptures. The Father sent the Son and points the world to Him as the one who bore our sins and who suffered for us and who has won for us a place in His kingdom. The Son, in turn, points the world to the Father who sent Him, who loves the world, who desires that all should be saved. Jesus also points to the Spirit as the sanctifier who gives us new birth and entrance into the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit points the world back to the Son and works faith and preserves us in the faith by word and by the sacraments. Know God in His oneness, but know Him also in His threeness, His Trinity. It's part of His saving name. And knowing Him, never stop calling upon His name for deliverance from every evil and from every trouble. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.